Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with Lee Kimble. How are you today, Lee?
I am just wonderful, Beth.
That's great. And it's a beautiful day here in Vero Beach, Florida. If you're listening from somewhere else, you wish you were here.
Although, you know, it's probably a beautiful day where you are.
It could be, too.
Well, depending on how you're looking at it.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Well, today we were going to talk about, I thought, Lee, it might be good to talk about grudges. You know, I have a few people that I work with that are holding grudges, and they have trouble with it. They want to let them go, but it seems like they can't. Have you ever had that?
I have, and I've seen it many times, and you know, it always runs back to that question, and how's that working for you?
Yeah, it does go back to that question, because it does come back to how is it working for you, how it feels to you.
And then you can segue into another one, choose again.
Yeah, that's another one. That's from The Course in Miracles, choose again. Yeah. Well, some grudges can last a lifetime. You know, are you harboring an issue from years ago that you can't let go of? Were you wronged in a way that was, you know, felt really deep and it won't let up? I think that that has to do with identity. I think that some of us define ourselves by those moments. We become a victim, and then we want to be that victim whenever we're around that person, the person that hurt us. It's like instead of just being who we are today, we go back to, oh, I was victimized by that person, and I'm going to feel it.
No, it's not a badge of honor, but it's a badge.
Yeah, you hurt me. It's the you hurt me badge.
And you know what? Let me tell someone else about it.
Yeah. And we hold on to that identity, at least when it comes to this issue or to this person. And in a way, the hurt defines the relationship with that person. The relationship has never been able to overcome it or to really grow to a different level because the hurt is there. And to let go of a grudge, we have to be willing to let go of that identity as the victim. What do you think?
Well, and we'll speak of it, you know, as the hour goes on. But the thing is, you may even have been legitimately wronged. And if that justification is what's helping you cling to this, you know, as I said, we're going to talk at some solutions and changing the perspective because you're the one paying the price.
Right.
You may have been the one that was subjected to whatever the wrong was, but you're the ones that's choosing to continue to live in it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a twisted attempt to get support and compassion that you didn't get long ago. Like, I should have gotten support and compassion way back then, but I didn't. So now I'm going to hold this grudge because I was supposed to get support and compassion, and I didn't get it, you know? And it's kind of like by holding on to it, you're stating the obvious that you were like, that I'm created to be loved, and it didn't work out that way, and I think it's your fault, and I want you to fix this or feel bad about it. You should feel bad at least.
Where's my apology?
You should at least feel bad, you know, that it sounds silly
and I want,
when we talk
and,
about it.
And I'm going to make you feel bad by letting you know I feel bad.
Right. Well, and you're looking for support and love, and oddly enough, the way you're holding on to the grudge is what keeps you from having that.
Well, support and love are products of connection.
Right.
And you know, the lack thereof is a product of separation.
And that's what we always come back to with Beth Wee. Are you connecting or are you separating? You were created for connection. So whenever you employ any of these little tactics, whether it's holding a grudge or playing the victim or whatever it is, it separates you from people instead of connecting you. So in the long run, in the eventual, you won't feel good.
And I would go even a step further that it's separating you from all three of the classes that you can separate from. You know, it is separating you from your real self. And when I wear that black spot on my soul, it separates me to some extent, you know, from my higher power. It really does, because I can't live in resentment and grudge and have as and feel the total spiritual connection that I need.
Yeah. And so you're separated from your true self, from the higher power, and from the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not getting what you're looking. You're looking for comfort, and you're actually depriving yourself of that comfort.
It's like a trifecta of negativity.
It's a bummer. You know, there's many ways out. We're going to talk about a lot of different things today. You know, we talk about forgiveness here a lot, and forgiveness is one way. But what about self-love? Can't self-love be a way out? Because you're the one getting hurt, like Lee said earlier. You're the one who's paying the price. When you carry that grudge, you're the one carrying the load.
And hand in hand with self-love is goes back to a show we did in the not too distant past, self-esteem.
Right.
You know, are you worthy of it?
Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
You know, there's an old saying that they have is resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. But you're the one who swallowed the poison. You're the one going down. So it's important that you kind of look at this. That's why I say self-love might be a solution that might be easier for some of you. Because maybe forgiveness sounds too much. You've been nursing this thing for so long. To let them off the hook just sounds, oh, I can't do that. And that's how you see forgiveness. And maybe just shift your focus from the wrongdoer to yourself. You know, maybe stop looking at what they did and just look at how you are today. How do you feel today? Are you comfortable with how you feel? Do you want it to change? You know, you're going to have to feel the pain eventually, because the resentment, it means to do again, and sent means to feel. So resent means to feel over and over and over. And yet you never feel it completely, so you can't fully let it go. So that might be a part of it too, is loving yourself enough to go through the emotion of it all the way. Get deep, do the work, maybe do some journaling on it, do something, but maybe go see outside help, get a professional to help you.
So what you're saying is there's action to be taken.
Oh, there's plenty of action to be taken, because you're different now. And you're not tied to that old experience unless you choose to be.
And imagine what you could do with the energy you're expending on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, think about what causes the anger, you know, or the resentment or the grudge. You know, maybe you're undervalued at work. Maybe you were passed up for promotion or reprimanded publicly or undercut by an associate. What other things happen? You know, whatever the reason, you're ticked off. And it's funny, because every time you pull into that driveway of work, you get that feeling of, ugh, I'm here again. And it's a grudge. It's that you're holding a grudge. And after a particularly hard day at work, you probably go home and take it out on your family.
Inadvertently.
Yeah, the people you love the most sometimes get the sharpest piece of our tongue.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going and lashing out. Perhaps you're withdrawn. Perhaps you're in, you know, that morass of self-pity.
Yeah, where you're just not present.
Yeah, and everybody gets to suffer.
Yeah, everybody do. They do. They get that. That's a hard one.
Pebbles in the pond again.
That's right. Absolutely. But there's many, many different things that causes this. And what we wanted to talk about today was just, what do you want to feel? You know, what do you want to feel? If you're holding a grudge and if it's sticking with you, what are you getting from it? You know? Now, many days you can live without it, and then somebody brings it up and it all comes back. It all just rises up inside you again, and you put on a different hat. Like the day before, you were fine. You were your own self. You were proud of certain things in your world. You were joyful to have certain people in certain relationships and interactions. You were noticing the beauty, the sunny day, the whatever it is, the snowy day if you're somewhere where you want to ski. You're looking at where you want to be, what you want to do, and then all of a sudden,
someone lets the air out of your balloon.
Yeah, that the same little resentment comes up. Somebody mentions it, or you see something that reminds you of it. And I like that you said you let the air out, because you deflate. Who wants to go through life deflated? Not me. I want to be puffed up and floating around.
It's a Stay Puffed man.
like a balloon, you know, just kind of floating above and enjoying it all, getting the best vista, and interacting with people as best I can. At least that's what I want. Do you think that's what most people want?
I'm fairly certain that most people want to be free, you know, to live their best possibilities, and possibly don't even realize this. And I mean, let's face it, we do get hurt and we do get wronged in life. You know, it's not a perfect world.
We're human beings wearing skin suits.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, there's a little good in the worst of us and a little bad in the best of us. You know, I've heard that saying. So, but what am I doing? How am I processing it, you know, to my best good?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, in some of the workshops I do an icebreaker, and I give them two index cards. And on one of them, we write anger, resentment, judgment, and fear. And on the other one, we write forgiveness, empathy, acceptance, and love. And then I say to them, just put them aside for a while. And they look at them throughout the whole workshop. And then at some point I'll say to them, you only get to live by one of those cards. Which one do you want?
Can I get back to you on that?
It's very true. Some of us with a grudge, we want to get back to you on that. We're talking about getting over grudges. We're talking about living your best life. You know, how do you let go? We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about it. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with Lee Kimball. We're talking about something near and dear to our heart. We want to let go of the stuff that's holding us down. And some of that is just a simple grudge. What makes a grudge? Something that you just can't let go of. You know, it comes back over and over. It bothers you again and again. You know, it was Mr. Einstein who said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And yet when we're dealing with grudge, we don't think of it as a form of insanity, but it surely is. It's keeping us from living our very best life and becoming all we were meant to be.
Well, that wonderful justifier can step in.
Yeah.
You know?
Justifier. I'm going to say, because of this is acceptable. And this is how it is now. Because this happened, I have to react like this. And the reality is, no, you don't. You can let it go. You can let it go. And it can be hard, but you can do it. You know, it's not the lions and tigers that eat us up. It's the gnats and the fleas. It's those little things. Sometimes it's the little things that get us. But anger is kind of a common emotion. Don't feel bad about yourself if you get angry from time to time. That's very human. Most humans know anger is one of the most powerful emotions that they have. And as you start to really pay attention to what your emotions are and how they're, you know, how they're coming out in your life, how you're interacting with other people because of these emotions, they can change. I don't get angry hardly ever anymore, but I used to not be able to control it here and there. How about you?
The word awareness just came into my mind, because as I become aware of these things, and I think that's what we're trying to do, is just spark. We're not going to fix this today for you folks, but we're hoping for you to maybe take a look. And if you're plagued with this, we're going to talk about some solutions. But when I've become aware of it, when I slip into it, then because of that awareness, I may be inclined, like you said, or like we said, to choose again.
Yeah. Know what's best for you.
And I also have a wonderful wife that reminds me when I'm slipping.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's take for an example a spouse. Your spouse wants to talk about it, quote, quote. And you're angry. It's not time for you to talk about it. You have to be able to explain that. You have to be able to let that person that you love know, you know what, when I'm angry, I'm not able to be intimate with you.
But then you have to find a compromise.
Yeah, but I will talk to you as soon as I, you know, just give me a little time here. Let me come off this high emotion rush I'm having. And when I feel calm, we'll talk. You have to give in to it. That's true. But some spouses will push you, or friends, or siblings, or parents, or whatever. They'll push you when you need it. And you need to be able to say, wait a minute here. I need a little break. I'm upset right now, and I'm not thinking straight. And I don't want to say anything to hurt you because I love you. That's the last thing I want to do, is hurt you because I'm not thinking straight. Just give me a minute or so. Give me a few minutes. Give me some time. Give me an hour. Whatever you need.
And like you've said before, relationship really is, it's, you hear the old saying, it's 50-50. No, it's 100-100.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to, and it may not work the first time because you have to communicate. I mean, that's my experience in my relationship now. You know, it's, goodness knows I don't want to hurt my lovely Diane. But in the beginning, she wants to talk about it. I need to process.
Right.
And, you know, I would express that. But we hadn't had enough time together for her to realize the reality of the necessity for me.
Right.
You know, in the end, what it was is my past history, my record was, when I would engage in quote-unquote battle, my model, as taught by my mother, God bless her, was get in, do as much damage as quickly as I could, and get out. And I don't want to do that with somebody I love anymore. I've gained that awareness.
Right. You know that about yourself.
Yeah.
And you know that it's a bad response. It's a reaction.
And when the words come out, there's no taking them back. I'm sorry does not erase.
Absolutely. It's the toothpaste coming out of the tube.
Absolutely.
Once it's out, it's out.
Feathers out of the pillow.
That's right. Once it's out, it's out. Yeah. And that's important because across, especially the developed country, the developed part of the world, there's an anger epidemic. You know, people are getting more upset than usual. You know, they're, let's face it, we're powerless over a lot of stuff. And as human beings, some of us still hate powerlessness. I mean, it's our lot in life for many things, but we don't like it.
Powerlessness angers me. Well, I'm serious, Beth, because what happens is, When I recognize powerlessness, then it seems to segue into fear.
Right.
And then fear and powerless seem to morph into anger.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it can be insignificant things like slow traffic or a slow computer. If you got used to using your phone or your computer, some of you listening are going, oh, I can't believe they're mentioning this. But over the other day, I was trying to make some phone calls. And one of the areas in our little city of Vero Beach, it said all the circuits are busy for the beach side. So 231, 234, 492, 999. These numbers wouldn't dial out. And I'm like, this can't be. This isn't fair. This is slowing me down.
Beth,
this is making me upset.
You just saw me on my phone. I was going to our website to look up our next workshop for later in the show that I could mention it. The server is unavailable.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I throw my phone across the room? Not while we're on the air. They'd hear it.
But that's the deal. That's what we're talking about. These things rise. Societal anger is kind of at a high. I always say in 2013, they did a poll, the Gallup poll, and they said 53% of Americans are angry about the economy.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, 1 year later, ABC News did a poll with a research company that did it. 85% of the people were angry about the same thing.
And
there are stressors in life, and yes, you're going to feel anger. It's normal. Modern life has, it has irritations. It has problems. We have problems as a nation. We have problems as a community. We have problems as a family, and we have problems personally. And you're going to feel anger sometimes, but how you respond to that anger and how long you keep it. Why do you want to keep it for a really long time? That's just the bummer of it. There are some people that are listening to us right now that are angry with their parents, and they're in their 60s. But they're angry with their parents from something that happened in childhood. They've never been able to let it go. And when they come to that place, they still feel that anger. Maybe you weren't the favorite kid. I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't get to go to the college you wanted to go to, or you didn't get whatever it is you thought you were supposed to be getting, something you thought was yours, and it didn't happen. And you feel victimized by the parents that you had.
But now add the component of perception, mm-hmm. You know, because maybe it was your perception. What if you were wrong? Or what if it was an incorrect perception and you've wasted the better part of your life clinging to it? My wife speaks about as a little girl going to church and being afraid because what she was hearing was she was damned, that she was going to pay for everything wrong at 8 years old. Today she recognizes she's pretty sure that's not the message that was being given, but that's what she was
right
perceiving it as.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're little, you hear things a certain way.
Yeah.
And you store it.
Yep.
You store it.
And you never evaluate it again. You just, like you've told the story, where you just accept it as reality and don't question it.
Yeah, and it's an old belief that doesn't really serve. And if you had, if you took the time to evaluate it as an adult now, you would say, well, of course that's not true. But you don't even take that time, so you're still running on 8-year-old...
defaults.
Yeah, 8-year-old default settings, yeah.
As a man, I realized at one point I was judging friendship by the 12-year-old model, because I was still thinking that, well, I don't have that many close friends because, you know, why? Because we don't do sleepovers and sneak out in the middle of the night. But that's what I was feeling a longing for, or a loss of, because that was my 12-year-old best friend.
That's what you knew.
That's
as
what
friendship.
I knew.
That was your definition of friendship.
And it was humorous when I took it out, because I do work on myself. I regularly do more work. And I looked at it and I was like, oh my goodness, that's
what the problem
that's
is.
That's irrational.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense with my current state of living.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. You know, whatever it is that brings you to this, if we're talking to you today, you know it. Do you have a grudge that you're holding? Take a look at it. Take a look at your part. Take a look at the other person's part. How old were you when you started that grudge? Were you thinking the same way you think today? Were there things that were more important to you that today you could kind of laugh at?
What is it accomplishing?
Yeah. And what are you getting from it?
Yeah.
What are you getting from it? You're not getting the comfort that you wanted back then. You're not getting a feeling of superiority. You're the victim. You might say, I have a twisted feeling and I'm better than them because I'm in charge of it. No, you're the victim. Think about it. Think about it and say, you know what? Maybe I need to look at this. Maybe I can take it apart and look at it a little bit more closely and move on.
Is there a way that could work better for me?
Yeah. We're going to take a short break here. We have the news tidbits that will be coming up. And then we're going to do our 5 on 5, 5 points of gratitude. They'll make you feel better. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the news.